far as health challenges all over. So we just want to be so mindful and thank God for what portion of life, health, and strength we have. Actually, I was speaking to an 81-year-old man today. He said he's older, he has to take care of himself. He said, because unfortunately, we can't go down to Advance Auto, AutoZone, or Napa when our parts wear out. Amen. So we got to take care of what God has given us. Amen. We ought to be good stewards, not just of other things, but also our health. It's important that we make proper and good choices. Can we say thank you, Jesus? And truly, we thank God tonight for my wife, amen, her life, health, and strength, and how he's blessing her, Sister Jazz, and all the rest of you that are struggling with something. Can we just say thank you, Jesus? Can we just say thank you, Jesus? I know Sister Rosa is having her challenges. Everybody got something going on. But still, God is good. Sister Jazz, his mercies enduring forever. Now, originally, all day long, I had planned to go over, I'll continue what we went over on Sunday about stop backing up, and whatever you do, don't you let nobody turn you around. And then about 10 minutes before we were to start, God started putting some other scriptures in my head. So I said, well, let me go with those scriptures, amen. And it's not on the same train of thought, but it's a little differently. And the one scripture, as I read it, this is how God deals with me. He magnified one word in particular, the word conspiracy. This is what conspiracy, not this New World Order stuff, amen. But a conspiracy is a scheme, plot, a plan that is done in secret, not known, not thinking that God knows. A plot, a plan, a scheme done in secret. But the thing about the plan and the scheme is you know that it's wrong, but you're doing it anyway so we can hide it from God. Amen. So I don't expect you to have a whole lot of jumping and shouting. But it's so important tonight that we're doing the things that please God. Amen. It does us no good to go through the motions. If God, we won't hear God tell us, well done thy good and so a conspiracy is something that you do in, I guess, contrary to God's word. Not in obedience to God's word. And the biggest thing about a conspiracy is you're blaming somebody else because you don't do right. So let us stand. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture reading, which we're going to work in reverse. Amen. Like I said, I did have other scriptures, but I want to be led by God and for God to speak to us. So we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 11 first. Jeremiah chapter 11, and then we're going to come back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Once again, a conspiracy is when we do something clandestine, something secretly, a plan, scheming, and conniving, and we know that it is wrong. Anything that we do that is wrong, don't you realize, don't we all realize that God sees it? Well, so was the case with Judah at this time when Jeremiah was dealing with them. They were going contrary to God, come to church, still shouting, still praising God, but they were doing things that were not pleasing to God. How can we go to heaven if we don't please God? Amen? All right, so let's start Jeremiah chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to slow down because my grandkids, they're nervous. Say, Grandpa, why do you speak so fast? So I'm going to slow down. Is it okay, Geo and Justice? Reprimanded me for speaking too fast. That's all right. So I'll slow down. If I go too fast, to say, slow down. Right. Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 1 reads, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant. And so we can't just hear them, but we must also do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore will I bring upon them all the words of this covenant. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy. The Lord says, you can't hide from God. A conspiracy is found among, in other words, God says, a conspiracy found among my people. Amen. And among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their fathers, which refuse to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Jacob have broken my covenant, which I made with their father. May the Lord have the blessings of the reading of his word. The church said, where the Lord is blessed already, you may be seated. Amen. So as I said, it was kind of out of the norm when the Lord just kept bringing them a minor conspiracy. You know, like a conspiracy once again, is, let me give you another definition. Is a plan or act that is not in secret. It's an outward show that you're with someone, but there's a hidden agenda that you're not. Right? A conspiracy. On the outside, and with your words, you say, I am. Can we say with you? But on the inside, there's a hidden agenda, and you are not really with them. That is a conspiracy. And once again, a conspiracy is something that you're doing willfully that is not right. That is a conspiracy. So God tells Jeremiah, he said, go speak to my people, to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say, curse be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Amen. So God gives us a word. But in our own mind, we purpose that we won't do it. And then we act like we are doing it. But inwardly, we know we're not. That is a conspiracy. But the thing is this, how can you have a conspiracy with God? Because a conspiracy is something that is done in secret, something that is hidden. Is a whole other agenda, but you portray something one way when all the time in the back of your mind you have another plan. That is a, but how can you have a conspiracy when it comes to God that knows? How do you have a conspiracy with God? Seriously. How can you make a plan that God don't know? We can fool people, but you cannot fool God. Once again, you can fool people, but you cannot fool God. So God will was disturbed with his people because they wouldn't obey his voice. Amen. To know God says do one thing and we do contrary, God is never pleased with that. Amen. So he goes on to say in verse 5, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. Then Ananias said, so be it, O Lord. So God has made us many promises. The Bible says his promises are great and precious. But how do we obtain the promises if we walk in disobedience? How can God bless us when we project we're with you, God, but in our hearts we are far, far from it. Amen. So we cannot project one thing and try to trick God. Have you ever seen people try to trick God? All right, I guess I'm talking to a blind church. That's right. You can't trick God. All right. You can't trick God because God knows the end from the beginning. And the Bible says, know not that God are all of his from the God knows every thought that's in our mind and every word in our tongue before it is formed. So how can we have a conspiracy against God? That's troublesome. How can God's people have a conspiracy? How can they do things in secret and think God doesn't know it? Amen. Verse 10 says, you know what the problem is? They have a greater love for something than they do for God. He said they have turned back to their iniquities. Now, David sinned, but what disturbed God more than David's sin is the iniquity. Right? Because after David sinned, he had already committed adultery, which was wrong. The iniquity is he tried to cover it. That was iniquity. Because in order to cover the sin that he had already committed, he had to create greater sin. So after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and he found out that she was with a child, he tried to cover it. Right? So after, what did he do? He sent for Uriah to come back, and he said, Uriah, how's it going with the war? That was a conspiracy. David could care less about what was going. David had one thing in mind he was trying to cover, right? That's when you have a conspiracy. That's when it's iniquity. When you know you've already done wrong, and instead of making it right, we try to cover it up. Well, Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covers his sin will not prosper. It's about being right in the sight of who? God. David, when he finally came to himself and he realized, I've been trying to cover my sin, Uriah went go to his house. So you know what David did? He said, okay, you're in your right mind, so let's make him drunk. Even after he got drunk, Uriah's heart was still with the men fighting in the war. And he wouldn't go down to his house. So David said, okay, there's only one thing I can do now is I need to take him out. You mean, a man after God's own heart? Yes, he was trying to cover. When you're trying to cover something, I don't care who you are, holy, righteous, or whatever you might be, you're going to do something wrong because you're trying to hide wrong.
Hey, what Dr. Miller said, this might sound some strange stuff. All right.
But he said, so that didn't work. He couldn't get him to go to the house. He couldn't, after he got drunk. So he said, the only thing I can do is, I'm going to have him take his own death note back to Joab to have him killed. Right. This is a conspiracy. All right. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Let's visit. Can we visit this for a minute? 2 Samuel chapter 12 is the 1 Samuel chapter 12. Oh. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel is about Saul. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
You can't hide Amen. So David had done that, and then he had Uriah killed. The thing is this, he said, send him to the front of the hottest battle. King, how you taught me conniving like this? Send him to the front to the hottest battle, and in the middle of the battle, have everybody withdraw from him. Right? And he was killed. And Joab sent that message and said, some of the men have fallen. And David said, well, why did you get so close to the wall? And Joab said, well, Uriah is dead. He said, okay, that's right now. Go ahead and go. Right? You can't hide stuff from God. You might think you can, but God knows your conspiracy, your scheming, your conniving. God said, I will find you. We'll go over that later. So 2 Samuel chapter 12, and contrary to my grandsons, I'm going to go fast. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said to him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nursed up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a family daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock, and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly. Well, why were you so angry? Because he knew it was. Well, it's hard to see it when you know what is going wrong. He knew what the parable, the man was. But all the ways of men are. Every way of man is right. So David gets angry. Hallelujah. Because he didn't realize that he was being exposed. Amen. So David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Now God didn't make David pay the full price, but he did restore fourfold, because he lost Adonijah, he lost Solomon, he lost two of his other sons, so he had to pay back because he had opened his mouth to the Lord. So he said he's going to pay, so if you read, I forget the four, but he had to pay back for what he'd done. Adonijah, Solomon, two of us. Y'all forget it. Right, let's keep going. Verse 7 said, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, you made God knew it already? Yes. That David was trying to cover him. But God found him out. Hallelujah. It's better to obey God than to have your own plan. Amen. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been, God said, if you wanted more, all you had to do was ask. And you didn't have to go and do all of this. Hallelujah. He said, all you had to do was ask if it was too little, and I will go over and have given unto thee such and such a thing. Wherefore hast thou despised? That was a whole issue. That he was not honoring God by keeping his commandments. He said, why dishonorest thou the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Yes, David was coming. Yes, David had a plan. Yes, he had a conspiracy. Yes, he was hiding. But not from God, because God sees and knows all. So how can the church have a private conspiracy when we're going against God as though God doesn't know? Amen. So he says that God did, he did it in his sight. Now he tells us what he did. Now who told God? Ain't nobody tell me already. He already saw it. He said, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife. If you read any way through the scripture, whenever the scripture makes reference to Bathsheba, it never calls her David's wife. Read in the scripture. She is never David's wife. He always called Bathsheba the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Even in the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 1. You go all through the scripture. It never referenced Bathsheba as being David's wife. Why? Because of the first covenant. God honored the vows of the first covenant. Though man broke it, God never dishonored it. So all through the scripture, she's never David's wife. She's always the wife of Uriah the Hittite. That's at no charge. Amen? So he goes on to say, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised. That was the whole issue. And David doing wrong, and he did what? Despised God. All right, now let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 11. I keep my Bible open. So we can go, as we go, we'll fill in. Amen. So back to Jeremiah chapter 11, and once again, he says in the 10th verse, if I can find my place again, he says, they are turned back to the iniquities of their fathers, which refused to hear my words. They went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant. Well, what was it? God found a conspiracy. Now let us go to Isaiah, the 29th chapter, and we're going to read verses 13 to 15. All right, y'all have to say amen, but just wait right now so folks can get it. Right. We need to obey God if we don't obey nobody else. Right. So, you know what? Unfortunately, in church, people say, well, I'm going to disobey God, then I'm going to try to pretty it up. You can't trick God. Whatever you do, God knows. Listen, you can jump and shout and praise the Lord. God's like, I know exactly what you did. How you gonna jump and shout and act like you're all holy and righteous? Right? In Isaiah, I believe it was the 58th chapter, he said they draw to God as though they've done something great. Read Isaiah 58th chapter. He said, all that fasting and all that stuff you do is nothing but hypocrisy. He said, you approach me as though you delight in me. God said, how can you delight in me when you won't honor me by keeping my word? If you delight in God, keep his word. You can't trick God. Verse 13 said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near to me with their mouth. Y'all ever see something? Thank God we're having our church. Y'all go to some of those churches. People can say all the right stuff. Listen, y'all say amen. I see it not here. Because I ain't talking about you. Bless you. They can say all the right stuff. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jump, shout, do all this. Don't be sitting there, you know, like my wife says to me sometimes. Really? You ever see that? Do something and say, really? That means it's something wrong. So when she say really, I got to back up. And see, then I mess up somewhere. As long as I got Brooke and Tanya on my side, I always mess up. I'm going to tell you, I will never go on a trip with all of them in the car. Never. Yes, it's bad. But you can't hide that stuff from God. God sees it. So don't say one thing. When down in here, it ain't good. All right? So God tells him, he says, they draw near to me with their mouth. their lips, but have removed their hearts far from you. And their fear towards me is tall. In other words, we treat God like he's a man. We fear God like we fear man, because when I ain't in front of you, you don't know what I'm doing. I guess the common vernacular of the world is this. When the cat's away, the cat is never away when it comes to God. So when you play, God still sees it. Amen? Verse 14 says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of the wise men, God said, that's not going to do anything. Right? Because the foolishness of men, foolishness of God is wiser than the greatest wisdom of man. Right? So he said, you know what? Their wisdom is going to perish. And the understanding of their prudent man shall be, it's going to be hid. Well, why is God so upset with his people? Right? Because they're not honoring him by respecting him by doing what they say. They're saying, but they do not. Hallelujah. God said that is a conspiracy. You cannot secretly do anything that God doesn't. No. Verse 15 reads, woe to them that seek to hide their. You cannot scheme or plan. You can't hide that from God. Amen. You cannot hide anything from God. I wouldn't tell the story when I was a kid, but I won't tell it. You cannot hide anything from God. God see. God know. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. In other words, God has a record of everything. You're saying one thing, but your life is going a different direction. And their words are in the dark, and they say, who? Who are you talking about? God? They got their counsel, their plan, they're doing it in the dark, that nobody can see us. Then they even have heard him say, who knoweth us? If we're going to do anything, be real. Right? Don't live a lie. Don't act like you're on God's side when your life is not in harmony. And can we go to somebody that made up excuses? Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Y'all with me, sir? I know sometimes every once in a while. Actually, before we go there, I'm going to be in 1 Samuel for a long time. All right, let's go to Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, and then we're going to go to Psalm 94, verses 7 through 11. Then we're going to 1 Samuel 15 chapter. Once again, there's nothing we can hide. God sees. God knows. Now, a lot of times, just because we, you know, sometimes we say, well, we, even when they be in church, they be acting like they do in the Bible. There are people that ain't in the Bible on the phone. They be everywhere but on the Bible. And God be seeing that too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's my phone. I can put what I want on my phone. If it's ungodly, if it's lust, if it's wrong, you looking at it, and God sees it too. So he said, well, just me, and I'm a grown, you know, I'm 21, and I can do what I want to do. Well, if you're going to do what you want to do, don't play with God. Amen. Do what you want to do. Don't come to church and act like you're holy, holy. Because then they have God works. Because God does not want us to be clean on the outside. He wants us to be clean on the
inside.
He said, you know what, you go by those, you don't ever go by some, there ain't too many of them around here, white sepulchers. Or you ever go by the cemetery sometimes, man, that is such a pretty thing. You ever see some of them vaults? I go to this one place, we go fishing. with justice and that little vision. Man, they got some vaults. But God said, no. And you know what's on the inside of that pretty stuff? Dead man's bones. Like rot, decay, and everything else. So the problem with the hypocrites is they may clean the outside of the platter, but the inside was full of nothing but dirt. It was unclean. Clean up first the inside, right? And then the outside. Amen? Numbers 33, 32, and 23 read, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have. If you don't do right in the sight of God, guess who you sin against? Don't, ain't no use in trying to hide it from me, because I ain't hiding. I don't have to help with you in. Right? If I find out, I'm just going to pray for you, because I cannot change you. I'm not going to judge your situation, even though I know. So a lot of times we are so concerned about, you didn't tell such and such. Such and such ain't going to help the hell to put you in. What did Jesus say? Don't fear him that's able to destroy the body and the soul. Well, he didn't say the soul, just the body, right? But fear him that's able to destroy the body and the soul, and we live our lives in the fear of man. We live it based on the precepts of man that we just read in Isaiah. We live everything based on the fear of man, and we forget that God sees us. So he said, if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And they know that. You can trick it up all you want. You can clean it up every way you can justify it every way you want. He said, but be sure that your will find you out. You can't hide that from God. It will find you out. You know, sometimes we forget some stuff we did in the past. Then you're on your holy mountain. And then you get in trouble for something you didn't do, and you're like, God, what happened? That's it. Now it's out. Seriously. You know, sometimes you do something, you say, man, what went wrong? It found you. You thought you were, all right, let's go to Proverbs 28, 30. Y'all can go to Safari and be like, let's go to this. You know why? Because when we live right, can we be clean on the inside? Right. Ain't no use in us playing with God, because God already knows. Your sin will. Playing on everybody else, God said, there's no reason for you to sin. Let them do wrong. But let every man answer for himself. All right, Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says, they ain't going as fast as I can go. All right, Proverbs 28, 13. Let me get this right quick. And then after this, we're going to go to Psalms 32, 1. Then, we're going to go to Psalm 34. I'm going to end the schedule, so I'm done good. So y'all, don't nobody look at the clock, because y'all might discourage it, brother. Alright, so Proverbs 28, 13 read, he that, you cannot cover your sin. The Bible said, what unclean thing can make itself clean? We cannot clean ourselves up. Alright, so he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and shall have mercy. Somebody said, my life is miserable. What haven't you got right? Well, I only call it sin is sin. The Bible, some people say, well, you know, you just, it's all right. Everybody admired women and men and this and that. But anyway, what Jesus say? Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her has committed adultery with her in his. We're living too much based on the precepts and concepts of the world. That's why the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the. You got to have a new mind. The world has us, the church messed up, because we're living by the, for God based on the standards of the world. How does that work? How can we live for God and our whole life The Bible said, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. At least they act or something, y'all. Y'all scared me, right? I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't have to accept it, but I'm going to still tell it to you, right? Because you cannot be a friend of the world and think you're pleasing God. The Bible says, not so. He calls them the adulterers and adulteresses. All right, you can read about that in the book of James in your own free time. Now let's go to Psalms 32. I know y'all ain't writing these scriptures down, so I'll make y'all a DVD. All right, bless your bless. Because you know what? Why play with God? Play with man. Don't play with God. God sees, God knows all. Amen. Psalms 32, 1 reads, do we all have it? It says, blessed is he who's... Well, how do you get it forgiven? You have to confess it and forsake it. A lot of times we confess it, but then we do it again. If you confess it and do it again, you did not have the mercy applied. In order for you to have mercy, he said you have to confess and forsake. So a lot of times there's a confession, I believe we can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It says that there are some confessions that are based on the sorrow of the world, but they're not based on true godly repentance. Amen. Well, what's the, why did you confess? Who got caught? Well, how do you know you confessed because you got caught? Because you did it again. Right? When you confess and do something right and you don't want to do it again, you forsake it. You don't do it again. Because I want to be pure before God. Now, this was my message, but I got to say what God told me to say, right? So blessed is the man whose transgression is what? And whose sin is? Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is? God is, you're trying to trick God. God, you're not true. You're not real. It's not pure. You did it, but there's God, because in the back of your mind, you know, as soon as the opportunity presents itself, I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. We need to be real with God. Because ultimately your sins will... The Bible says, God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. There are some people that die unexpected death and they wanted to get right, but they didn't get right because they played with God for too long. They said, you know what? I'm going to come to God in my own terms when I get ready. You know what you said when I get ready? I heard the Lord say, no man can come unto me except the Spirit. So God's Spirit is drawing you. You just said, I ain't ready. But I'm going to come when I get ready. Lord knows I never want to die. Lift my eyes on the hill. I don't want to be like the rich man and say, Lord, I need somebody to help me while I'm at it. Because I'm playing with God. I won't be real. I'm a charlatan. I'm a spiritual charlatan, right? And I live one way in church. I live one way around the saint. But let me get out and let my hair down. God said, I saw that too. I see everything you're doing. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Y'all with me, Phil? You can play with everybody else. But don't play. Don't go through the motions like I'm so holy and I'm so sanctimonious. God said, I see everything. You know, sometimes we like to, with, I want to take a long, long look, or a long, long take, so a long, long, this, but I'm just doing a little bit. Every time we sin, guess what? If you rerun your heart, your conscience will convict you. And if your conscience convicts you, then y'all got something I love to deal with like that. All right, we're not playing with God. If y'all want to play, then get y'all right home. All right, this is time to be real. All right, so you can't play with, don't play here. Play later. Right? Because your soul is at stake tonight. You can't play with God. Alright? So God is watching everything we say and do. Isn't it important that we be real with God? If I die tonight, if you die tonight, will we be able to give God any excuse for not doing the right thing? We got to be real, all right? So let's go to Saul. The sad part about King Saul is Saul started off so humble till he got lifted up. If you start off humble, stay humble. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1, read. Do we have it? Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice tonight. Hear God's voice. You know, don't hear me, don't hear the people next to you. Let God speak to you. You know, like Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear. Jesus said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit would say unto the church. Tonight is about being for real. It ain't about being no fake, no charlatan, anything else. It's about being real. Amen? Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. How he laid waste for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. He said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy that three-letter word. Will I make you obedient or disobedient? He said, do what? Fall. And what happened when Israel came out of Egypt, what the Amalekites did, because they would always let the weakest and the infirm stay in the back, the king of Amalek and the Amalekites attacked the weak and the infirm that were in the back that could not defend themselves. So this is sometime later, but God still did not forget. We may forget, but God does not forget. Amen. So this is many, many years later, but God still remembered what King, the Amalekites, and the Amalek did to the Israelites. So he's now pronouncing his judgment, because man may forget, but God never forgets. Amen? Verse 4, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid waste in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenite, go depart, get you down from above the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from above the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur. Then it is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed. But what was God's commandment to them? To destroy all. So what did Saul do? Saul decided to think, I have a better idea. Ford had a better idea. God's not looking for Ford things. Just follow the plan. Don't think we have a better idea, we can change it, all right? So they took those things that God said, don't take. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. How did Samuel know he wasn't there? Because God spoke to him. God spoke to him and said, wait a minute. Samuel, I gave you specific directions for Saul to follow. But Saul has not done what I asked him to do. I wonder tonight, has God spoken into any of our spirits and asked us to do some things, but we had a better idea. We did not follow the leading of the Lord. Amen. He said, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is. Well, don't you turn around. Don't you allow anything to make you back up. The problem with Saul was he was no longer following. After he got to his highest height, he decided that he could do what he wanted to do because he was king. Saul was so mighty in power that when Samuel went down to the house of Jesse to get another king, he had to disguise it because he knew that Saul would have had him killed. Right? So he had the power to kill and the power to make alive if he wanted to. That's how powerful he got. But he still failed to realize he was not greater than God. Right? So he could do, but not greater than God. Verse 12 says, and Samuel rose early, he grieved Samuel, he cried unto the Lord all night trying to change God's mind. Right? Because he just said, Lord, don't do this. Right? But you know, sometimes we look at things one way, but God can see a lot further. Right? But we'll find out a little later. After the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, God already told him, he said, listen, Saul is no longer following me. When he couldn't get an answer for God, he went to a what? To a witch. To the witch of the Gadite to try and get an answer because he'd hear from God. And the problem with Saul is he was like, who's our governor that was prosecuting all those people? Spitzer or whatever his name is? Right? What's his name? Spitzer? He's not a governor. He's prosecuting everybody for all that. Dirt, and then he turned around and had to resign for doing the same dirt. Well, the problem with Saul, Spencer was another Saul, whatever his name is. You know who the governor was before the last governor, right? So, the problem with Saul is he was killing all the witches and burning them alive. But the very thing that he was condemning, that he's going to get hell because he was no longer following God. Don't go back to the stuff that God has delivered you from. Amen. Because that's an indication that there's a problem in your heart. Amen. So he no longer followed him. He said, I have not performed my commandment. And he grieved Samuel and he cried all night unto the Lord. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. It was told Saul, saying, Saul told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set him up. Wait a minute. Prophets and priests set up place, not kings. So everybody has to abide in their calling wherein they are called. If that's not your calling, don't you go on trying to set up something that God has not called you to do. So Saul a place as though he is a prophet or priest. That's when you know you're going the wrong way. When you get bigger than you ought to be. Amen? Amen. So he went and set him up a place and passed on and go down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. You know why he said that? Because his soul within himself, he knew he had not done it. Did they say something to ask him anything? No. So why did he blurt that out? Because he knew he was wrong. He blurted out, I performed the commandments of the Lord. Well, he didn't ask you what you've done. Right? Because his conscience. Your conscience, listen, no matter how you justify wrong, your conscience knows when you are wrong. You cannot justify. Thank God for a conscience. Conscience is a God part of you that makes you do the right thing. contrary to what you think. Amen? So he says, I have to perform the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, if you've done what God asked you to do, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, there, who's in charge? You see how people, you know, you have to put it on the blame. You had a choice. You could have made a choice. But to justify your wrong, you want to blame somebody else. Who did Samuel give a specific commandment to? Saul. Not to the people. Who gathered everybody together to go to war? Saul. So who was responsible for whether they did or did not perform the commandments of the Lord? Saul. So he says, well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have. Who is he blaming again? The people. He said, the rest we have utterly destroyed. Amen. But if we go back to verse 8 for one quick second, and then we're going to come back to this. Now, verse 7 rather said, and who spoke the Amalekite? Saul. Right? And who took it, verse 8, and who took Agag king alive? Saul. The scripture tells us who did it, right? Saul did it. But when he gets caught, he's going to blame somebody else. Amen? That's when you know you're not right. Let's go back here. I'm almost finished, okay? Verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he knew he was wrong. And instead of humbling himself and said, I have sinned, he says, God is already exposed. Why not humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time? You've already been exposed. Why be proud and stay wrong? He's telling the whole story. They're dealing with him. He's reasoning with him, trying to get him to do the right thing. Amen? He says to him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou was little, saints of God, don't ever get too big in your own sight. Right? Stay humble. Was thou not thou made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them that they be. He said, wherefore didst thou not obey? We use everybody as an excuse for being wrong. Why not just obey God? Right? No matter what anyone else does is wrong. Why don't we make it a concerted, mind-changing decision? You can do wrong, I'm going to do right. Don't follow the crowd. Make your stand for God. Amen? He said, wherefore is that thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly from his call and did? When you stop obeying God, it's always pretty enough, sugar-coated how you want to. Sin is sin. There ain't no pretty sin or ugly sin. All sin is sin. Amen? And all sin is wrong. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have done all the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekite. But God is still blaming the people. All right? But we already said who stopped following the Lord was who? It wasn't the people. He enforced them. Amen. Verse 22 said, and Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to is better than anything else you can do. So many times we get put in situations where we have to make a choice. In making my choice, am I going to obey the voice of the Lord or am I going to sacrifice? Tonight, we get put in situations. You have to make a decision. Well, what are you going to make your decision based on? I'll make my decision based on the Word of God and God, pleasing God, every time. Every time. Amen. So he goes on to say, to harden than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the. When you're rebelling, it means you have a witchcraft spirit. Amen. And stubbornness is as iniquity and. Because thou hast. The Lord is also. And we're told in Isaiah chapter 1. Tonight, you cannot do plans for God. You might have been doing wrong, but how about it's time to come now as we're going to read, let us reason together, saith the Lord. It's time to be right. Amen. I don't have a heaven to hell to put you in. And I cannot overdo what God is going to do. Amen. Verse 11 reads, to what purpose is the multitude of your, coming to church? It takes more than that. That is an outward show. Praise the Lord, it takes more than that. Praying, it takes more than that. He said, what is the multitude of your sacrifices? Saith the Lord, I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lambs of heifers. When you come to appear before me, who has required this? And he said, why do you keep presenting me all of this outward show, but it's not from your heart? Are you all with me?
Yes.
Why are you going through the motions? And it ain't real. You got to be real. Amen. He said, don't bring no more vain ovations to me. He said, incense is always symbolic of, he said, even your prayers are an abomination because you're not coming with the right spirit. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assembly, he said, I cannot even deal with that. That is iniquity. God said, you're doing all and then you come to me like you're right here. That is iniquity. Well, what's iniquity? Your conspiracy. You do all this and think God don't see you. God says, I see you. Amen. Verse 14, your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul. Who's speaking? This is God. They are in trouble unto me. I am weary even to. God said, I don't want all your outward show. I need a change in the heart. Amen. He said, you know what? When you spread forth your hands, I will hide. You're going to be praying to me. God says, I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to hide my eyes because there's an inner problem. The condition is not outside. What's going on is taking place on the inside. He said, yay, when you make many prayers, you ever ask God, can you hear my prayer? What's on the inside? Because God, everybody else sees you got the right talk, the right walk, but nobody can see your heart but God. The Bible, Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? But then he drops down the explain. He said, but I, the Lord, search your heart. I try to read. Give up every man according to the fruit of his doing. So you don't know, I don't know. But God knows our hearts. He said, I won't even give your prayer. You can make as many as you want. He said, your hands are full of blood. Then God gives us a remedy. Isn't it wonderful how God is? He always gives us a way out. But we have to make that choice. God will not make us do anything. The choice has to be ours. Amen? He says, wash you, make you clean, put away. You got to do what? If you've been doing it, it's time to put away the evil of your doings. What? Where is he doing that? If you've been doing it, who sees you? So we're trying to put it away from the husband, the wife, the this and that. And God said, no, 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 no. I still see you. Just because you went over into the jungles or someplace and did it, God said, I still see you. Just because you did it at work, because you didn't want to stand out and be different, God said, I still see you. Just because you did it at school to compromise because you got people talking about you, I still see you. You know, I told them the other day, when I was let's get this so we get it. All right. Let's go down a little further. He said, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fathers, plead for the widow. He said, what you're supposed to do, do it. Then he said, come now and let us. You know, isn't that God such a wonderful, loving God? Even in our wrongs, can we reason this out? Who's speaking, says to who? Not a man. Right now, you know, it's your conscience, your mind, whatever it is. If it's well between you and the Lord, that's great. But if it's not, come down, let us reason together, saith the Lord. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, God's going to bless you. If you're willing and obedient, God will what? Bless you. But if you refuse, and you know the right thing to do, when you don't do it, that is rebellion. So I say, if you refuse and rebel, he said, wait a minute, when you don't do the right thing, God, you're going to be devoured. And God said, don't think anybody can change this across the mouth of God as we all stand. I'd rather be pleading to God and have the whole world mad at me than please the world and have God mad at me. If tonight is about being obedient to God. To obey is what? What I like about God is that God holds us all accountable individually for our own lives and for the decisions that we have to make. As the elders and the ministers come forward tonight, I just want to hear the Lord say, well done. God will not say well done if there is anything in our heart that's not right. We have to be right before God. Don't think we can do anything in hiding from God. God sees all. God knows all. He kept telling Israel, oh no, when you're doing this before my eyes, God says, I see what you're doing. I'm watching you. I see. It's time. Every day I pray, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me. No, my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way and lead me into everlasting. So I repent every day, Lord, I just want to be right. Time is coming to a close. Time is winding up. I don't want to look back with regret that I had an opportunity to change. But I love the pleasures of this world more than God. The Bible says that Moses chose rather to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for sin. Yes, there's pleasure in sin, but I don't want that to make me lose out on God. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my If we're going to do right, the first thing we have to do is humble themselves. Then after they humble themselves, they have to pray. Then they have to seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways first. Then seek God first. Face. You cannot come to God with a wrong spirit. You can pray all you want. The heart's not right. God's not going to bless you. Amen. So first thing you do, humbleness is not about me. Right now my life is an open book before God. I'm going to do what's pleasing to God. So after I humble myself, then I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to ask God to help me to turn from my wicked ways. Then I'm going to seek His face. God said, if you follow that prescription, either then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sins and heal your land. But if we are obstinate and rebellious and continue doing our way, God said, I'm not going to.